We are up to Perek Zayin, Pasik Ches. Okay, this Perek, this section is a little bit, I don't know how to describe it, it's a little bit different than what we're used to because we're just going to go through a long list of names. Okay, yesterday we began this Perek, and this Perek now begins to enumerate the Nehemiah is disturbed that in Yerushalayim there are very few residents. The walls are complete. Nehemiah, the walls are complete. It's now been exactly 36 years since Koresh, since the proclamation when Koresh gave permission for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael, and it was they returned. 42,360 people returned, but then suddenly Koresh changed his mind because of the Aseres Bnei Haman. There was a sitna, and they stopped building the Beis Hamikdash. And then, after the miracle of Purim, they resumed in the second year of Daryavish. Now it's in the 20th year of Daryavish. The walls are complete, and there is security. But the problem is, there is a very small population of Jews living inside Yerushalayim. It could be there were Jews living outside Yerushalayim in the suburbs or throughout Eretz Yisrael, different areas, but not inside Yerushalayim. There were not enough people to maintain what was needed within Yerushalayim. So Nehemiah has an idea. He's going to persuade Acheinu Bnei Yisrael to return and live in Yerushalayim. Problem is, he doesn't know exactly who to convince, who to speak to. So he pulls out the Shtar Yichus, he pulls out the record of the 42,360 people that made Aliyah 36 years ago in the time of Koresh to see who is here, to see who is on the ground. Because the Jews were dispersed all over Eretz Yisrael. It could very well be that some of them went back to Bavel. But if a family once was willing to make the trip to be Moser Nefesh to come to live in Yerushalayim, it's very likely that with a little convincing, they'll come again and they'll be willing to move from the suburbs of Eretz Yisrael back within the walls of Yerushalayim. So he needs something to work with. He just can't go and go out in the street and go in a car with a loudspeaker and say, Rabbi Yitzhak, come please, we need people to come live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to work.
The whole idea is probably most of those people went into a farming. And they're telling them, come to your tribe, what am I going to do for the prognosis?
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes and no. Some of them you're not going to be able to convince. That's correct.
No, but what does he have to offer to come live in Yerushalayim? It's not Silicon Valley.
Idealistic. Why are you here to begin with? The only reason why you came to Eretz Yisrael, originally you gave up a good life in Babel because you believed in the cause. To be a pioneer, to build up the spiritual city of Yerushalayim, in Hanami. They have to make sacrifice to come. It's all Eis Lasa Slashem. It's an Eis Lasa Slashem, and he's telling people we need people to live in Yerushalayim to support the Kohanim and the Levim and to provide security for Yerushalayim until the city develops into what it should be, and hopefully through that we will bring the Shechinah back to the Beis Hamikdash and the Mashiach will come. And Hanami, this is a spiritual calling, and these families have shown in the past that they are interested in such a cause because 36 years ago they gave up a good life in Babel to listen to the calling of Ezra, the calling of Daniel. They came with Sheshbatzar and with Ezra. They were two different aliyos, two different descents, the Koresh a little bit later, and with Ezra and Daniel. And therefore, if you've shown in the past that you're willing to make the trip, so there's no reason why you should not come make the trip now once again. But he needs something to work with. Like they would say, you know, in business, the money's in the list. Right? If you have a mailing list, you have an email list, it's worth its gold. Because people that have shown an interest in the past, in your product, in your service, and have given over their contact information, and now you have someone to speak with to contact, they just need a little encouragement. You have what to work. So basically, over here we have a McCarthy for this concept. The money is in the list. He has a list of 42,360 people. He's going to contact them. He's going to beg them, please come back to Yerushalayim. And that's what he's doing. So he's bringing the shtayichos, and he's getting the names, and he's going to make contact with each member of the family to see where they are, where they're holding, and hopefully they would come back and live inside Yerushalayim if they're not already doing so. It's also important to make sure that he does not, by mistake, convince people who are not fit to live in Yerushalayim to return. Because if he goes out to the suburbs and he sees families living together, who says they're even Jewish? Just because they seem they're practicing, they're observant, doesn't necessarily mean they're Jewish. Maybe they're mamzerim. Maybe they're people that are not fit to serve, to live in Yerushalayim. He needs the yichus brief of everyone living in Eretz Yisrael to be certain these are miyuchasim, these are kohanim, levim, Yisraelim, from Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, so on and so forth, they can return. And that's what he does. So we learned of this, and the problem though is, the problem is that the list that we're going to present now, we're going to run through very quickly, is very different, not very different, it's slightly different than the list presented in Sefer Ezra. There is repetition. First of all, we asked the question yesterday that who wrote Sefer Nehemiah? Nehemiah. Who wrote Sefer Ezra? Nehemiah. Nehemiah wrote both books, so why is the list recorded twice? The list we're going to learn now is basically 95% an exact repetition of what we already learned in Sefer Ezra Perek Beis. Why the repetition? Especially if the same person is writing this book, if two different people are writing the book, that we can understand. One person wrote it, he recorded it on his own. Ezra did not know from Nehemiah, Nehemiah did not know from Ezra. Each one did what they want, wrote on their own. Happens to be there's some overlap. But there is no overlap in this authorship because the same person wrote both books. So why would the same person repeat the same thing twice? So the answer is they're not exactly the same. There were two different sets of records kept by two different individuals, and they're slightly different. Each one has a different focus. It's not clear what the focus of each one is. The names of the people are referred to a little bit differently because it could be they were known by different names. Some people call a person by his name of his city, and other people refer to him by the name of his family. So the names are a little bit different sometimes, and the number of people in the family are also different because they reflect different ways of calculating how many members of the family really ascended. Maybe some of them only were there for a short period of time and they returned, so it did not count.
So that's
a question. Is this referring to a later period of time? There are many, many issues. There are many contradictions in the list because the total sum, we mentioned all this yesterday, is 42, after we go through all of the names, the total sum is 42,360. To suggest that these accountings were 36 years apart, it's extremely unlikely that the total sum of people living in Eretz Yisrael was exactly 42,360 to the dot over 36 years. And almost all of the families stayed exactly the same. Well, they didn't have children. People didn't die. That's very unlikely. It's true, there is some discrepancies. We're going to see some of them soon. But the discrepancies are very small. 10 more, 1 more, 1 less, 10 less, 5 less. Very small differences. It's not likely. For 36 years, it was everything remained exactly the same. How could that possibly be? So some farshim say, no, that's how it was. It really was like that. That this was a different accounting made 36 years later. And pretty much the families stayed the same because there was a great upheaval. It was very difficult times. People died. People were born. But things did not change that much over 36 years due to all the difficulties of the time. People were not able. There was starvation, and there was famine, and there was war, and there were problems. So pretty much things stayed the same. But the total sum of 42,360, that's already a little bit of a stretch to say that stayed exactly the same. So someone wants to say, is that when we gave the total sum, we gave kavod to the first counting. Pretty much the counting now is going that we're reading in Nehemiah is 36 years later, but when we give the total sum, the tally, we're referring back to the original tally of 36 years ago in the time of Ezra and Daniel, because we want to give kavod to the pioneers. But really, it's a new accounting. It's a new accounting taking place 36 years later. Other Mepharshim say no, that this accounting took place at the same exact period of time. It's just, as we said, there are different ways to take records. There's no question today, if you'd have, in the United States, is a census, I think every 10 years?
10 years.
Every 10 years. There's no doubt in our minds that if the government would hire two separate independent organizations, right, it will go hire completely, then one does not know from the other. I'll tell each organization, I want you to make a census, how many citizens live in the United States, and divide them by their ethnic group, male, female, and so on and so forth, in the profession, and you do exactly the same thing. Two different groups. Each one has a contract. Each group does not know from the other. Do we have any doubt in our minds that their numbers will be very different? That's the mitzvah. That's the reality. Now, let's say we would hire even the greatest professionals, the greatest experts, and we would give them all the resources they need. All of it would all still be different. There's no question. It would be the more professional, the greater experts both teams are, the closer their numbers would be. But there's definitely going to be a discrepancy. And the truth is, they're both right. Because each group is definitely using different criteria to make the accounting of how many members there are, how many people there are. So there is definitely truth to each system. And that's and in a certain way, that is a benefit, because when you do have contrast, you have two different accountings, and there's a difference, there's a discrepancy, that automatically makes us ask the question, well, why is there a discrepancy? And through asking the questions, we bring out details, we bring out things, issues, that otherwise we would not have paid attention to. So there's always an advantage of comparison. That's the whole Talmud is basically built on this principle. You have a Mishnah, and you have a Braisa, or you have two Mishnayos, and they seemingly say the same thing, but we look very carefully, there are slight differences, and the Gemara challenges, why is there a difference, a discrepancy, and that brings out Chidush and Yesodos. And then we compare the Talmud Bavli to the Talmud Yerushalmi, and then you compare the Rambam to all the other Rishonim, to Rashi, and through that process of comparison, when each individual, or each commentator is trying to accomplish the same thing, and obviously you come out with different result, that brings out issues. That's everything every Jewish person who studies Torah understands this principle. And in a certain sense, that's really what Nehemiah is doing here when it comes to the census. When it comes to count the people, the Olim, the pioneers who came to Eretz Yisrael, there were two different agencies that took an accounting of who came in the year, in that year, time of Ezra and Daniel. Each one had a slightly different way of looking, of calculating the people. Could be there were people that came for only 3 years. They were there, they didn't like it. It just wasn't for them. They were not matzliach. The chinuch wasn't good enough for them. The children were not happy. So what did they do? We're leaving. We're going back to Bavel. Could be people in Bavel were jealous. New people arrived. How do you count those people? If someone only stays for a short period of time, do they count? How do we refer to them? What's their name? Do we find them by their family, or do we find them by their profession? So on and so forth. These differences bring out issues that otherwise we would not be aware of, and Nehemiah seemingly purposely is taking two different accountings of the time, presenting them in one sefer. Sefer Ezra Nehemiah is considered to be one sefer, forcing us to contrast the two to bring out the issues that we would otherwise not take note of. Ma'is of a similar bottom, this is really the story of Golas, story of Golas of Torah. Development of Torah is always contrast. There are always different ways of looking, even sort of in Jewish history. There's no such thing as taking even secular history. There's no such thing as taking a record, reading an account of what happened during a period of time and coming up with completely different focus, different perspective of what happened. And you can't say they're wrong. Each one is right. It's just when you focus differently, you have a different perspective, and contrasting the two brings out a whole greater understanding of what is taking place. And that pretty much, I think, is the simplest approach to understand what's happening. Not to say that these were two different accountings taking place, one now and one 36 years later. That's very difficult. But rather, there were two countings taking place at the same time. Nehemiah is presenting both different parts of the Sefer to cause us to contrast and to bring out the issues. Other Mepharshim, something more of like a pshara contrast, is that 36 years later, Ezra now is going back, or there were professionals who went back and looked at the records and reviewed with new information that has been provided 36 years later. Now, in retrospect, we can make a better accounting of what really happened 36 years ago. In Sefer Ezra, we have the record as it happened at the time. On this day, they lined up to go, and we made an accounting, 42,360, these are the families, so on and so forth. 36 years later, we make believe, we ignore what we had there, what we had originally. We open up the record books, we interview people that are still living, and we review the events that happened 36 years ago anew. And we make a new accounting. And that also comes out with a slightly different record, and information might even be a little bit more accurate now that we have the advantage of 36 years having passed. We can review it with a different focus and present what appears to be that same information. So that's what he did over. That's what he's doing over here in order to get names of people who he can convince them to come to Eretz Yisrael. So we learned already yesterday the leaders we learned yesterday was, so we review Pasuk Zayin, we had Habon im Zerubbabel, who came with Zerubbabel. So this we learned a lot of these things. A lot of the Mepharshim are silent here in Sefer Nehemiah. They all say just one few words. You want to know what all the chidushim of these names? Go look back in Sefer Ezra. In Sefer Ezra, I told you the significance of the words, of what the things mean. And also, you know what I did for you there in Sefer Ezra? I also told you there the differences between Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah. And everything you need to know to contrast the two, you'll find in Sefer Ezra. Okay, so what did it say? This review said, Zerubbabel, who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel, we assume, is not the same person as Nehemiah. However, some of the Mepharshim, I think Midrashim, say that Zerubbabel is Nehemiah. So, which then means that Nehemiah, like Daniel, we spoke about this yesterday, twice. He came to Eretz Yisrael twice. He came at the calling of Koresh, he was there, and then he left. How do we know that he left? Because we find, being the Sefer Nehemiah, he was the butler. He was the Ser HaMashkim for Daryavish. And he asked Daryavish, do me a favor, relieve me of my post so I can go back to Eretz Yisrael. So obviously he came back during the time when the construction stopped. Daniel, for sure. Daniel, we know that Mordechai Bilshan. We learned yesterday. We're not going to go over the whole thing. Mordechai Bilshan was Mordechai from Yehudi from the Megillah. He certainly went back to Shushan Abira in between the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, so yeah, yes, him Zerubbabel. So some say Zerubbabel is Nehemiah, and some say no, Zerubbabel is someone different. He was the leader. He was the Melech. He would have been the Melech. He wasn't officially the Melech. He was descendant of David, and he would have been the leader. Yeshua, we learn Yeshua was Yeshua Kohen Gadol. He indeed became Kohen Gadol. We have Nehemiah. We discussed that is Nehemiah. The Nehemiah, if we learn that Zerubbabel is not Nehemiah, is this Nehemiah the Nehemiah of Sefer Nehemiah? Some say yes, some say no. Two different opinions. Okay, there were a number of Nehemiahs. Azariah, Ra'amiah, Nachamoni, Mordechai Bilshan, which we assume is one person. We went to some of this yesterday. Misperes, that's the name of a person, a very bizarre name. The name of a person is his number. Don't call me by my name, call me by my social security number. His name was Misperes. Big Vi, what?
Suggested was a barber.
Sapar, I didn't see. Perhaps I didn't look all that much, but that's an interesting idea. His name was Misperes, Bigvai, Nuchum Bano, Mispar. Mispar here does not mean a number. It means these are the significant leaders. Mispar Anshe Am Yisrael. Mispar is a term which means the Chashuvim. Well, the Mitzudos really says, he says here, Zeh HaMispar, this is the list of Shel HaChashuvim, the number. What we've presented before, or what we're going to present in the future. I'm sorry, according to the Mitzudos, David, it means Mispar. What we're now going to enumerate, starting with Pasuk Ches, are the exact numbers of the Chashuvim, of the elite. the important leaders of the Jewish people and their families, those who took the calling, listened to the call of Koresh and returned to Eretz Yisrael, together with these list of leaders that we have just enumerated in Pasuk Zion. Mispah, the following are the numbers of people of Anshei the Chashuvim. Anshei here means the Chashuvim, Am Yisrael. So here we begin. Bnei Parosh. So the first family is the family of Parosh. How many? Alpayim Me'ah V'Shina. As we go through each one to make it a little bit interesting, okay, this should just be just to run through. I have here a chart in the back of almost all of the Sfarim. They have a table which contrasts, to make it easy, contrasts the listing in Sefer Ezra versus the Sefer Nehemiah. So first comes Bnei Parosh. Parosh, here we have Alpayim 2000, Meir Veshivim, Mishnaim 2072. 2100, Meir 100, Veshivim, Mishnaim 72. That's exactly what it says in Sefer. This is exactly the same. Okay, so the accounting, that's a pretty good, it's a large number. One thing, you come to a small number, so you're on the mark. Okay, when you come to 2,172, you're on the mark. That says a lot. Next, now we come to Bnei Shefatya. Next family, Shefatya, how much? Also exactly the same. Shlosh Meos, 300, Veshim Meshlaim, 72. Pasig Yud, Bnei Orach. Next family, here we have a discrepancy. Bnei Orach, we have Sheish Meos, 600, Chamish Meshlaim, and 52. 652 in Sefer Ezra, it was 775. Okay? 7 cents. Therefore, there's a discrepancy. The number got smaller. Okay. Something happened. Yudal Bnei Pachasmov. Now we have the field Pachasmov. Bnei Pachasmov was the governor of Moab. This was David HaMelech's family. David conquered Moab. Moab was a troublemaker. They were real trouble. So David conquered them and put them in line and appointed a governor to make sure they paid tribute and they behaved themselves. So this family that lived or was in charge of Moab, or their numbers of Yeshua, so it was divided into different groups. The family of Yeshua, how much? And Yoav, Yoav L'chayr was David's nephew. He was his general. Alpayim 2,818. The numbers are exactly the same. No discrepancy. Pasuk Yud Beis. Bnei Elam. The family of Elam. Here it's also the same. Elif 1,000. Masayim Chamitra. 1,254. Yud Gimel. Bnei Zatu. Shmoyin Meos. 845. There is a great discrepancy. The numbers decreased. The numbers got less. In Ezra, it was 945. Here, it's only 845. Yudalit. Bnei Zakoi is the same. Shameos Shishim is 760. Tezva Bnei Vinui. Sheishmeos Arbam Shmoina. 648. The numbers change. Here, for the very first time, the numbers went up. Because in Sefer Ezra, it was 642. So here the numbers went up from 642 to 648. Okay, next. Bnei Vevoi, Sheish Meos. We have Bnei Vevoi, Sheish Meos, Esh Meshmoina, 628. So 600 Bnei Vevoi, Sheish Meos, Esh Meshmoina, 628. Why my chart is missing over here? Bnei Vevoi, strange. I don't know why they did that. Bnei, but in Sefer Ezra, it's 623. Okay, so here it's 628, and there again, so the number here went up. Next, Bnei Azgod, Alpayim 2000, Shloshmeos, Esh Meshmoina 2,322. The number here dramatically goes up. This is very interesting, because in the Ezra, the number is 1,222. Here it's 2,322. So that requires explanation. It's one thing you have a small number, but when the number is greater than by more than 1,000, something has to be understood. I don't know the significance. I don't know why. Okay, next. Pasuk Yuchas Bnei Adoni Kam Sheish Meos Shish Meshmoina 667. Now, I told you this was my favorite number. I discussed this with you when we learned Sefer Ezra. There, here's one more. Here it's 667. In Sefer Ezra, it was 666. That's our favorite number. Why? Because that's the gematria of Mea Sha'arim. The words Yitzchak, he planted in the field, and he discovered, and it was successful. And the way the Torah defines his success is with the term Mea Sha'arim. Like in Eretz Yisrael, the neighborhood Mea Sha'arim. What is the gematria, the numerical value of Mea Sha'arim? 666. 100 times more successful than he ever imagined. That represents like the ultimate bracha. You try, you do your best, you're successful. So Chazal didn't talk in these extreme exaggerations. When they say you're successful, you did twice as much as you should have. 10 times. You're not going to say 1,000 because that's ridiculous. That's already off the charts. The Torah's exaggeration is Mea Sha'arim, 100 times more than he would have measures. The gematria is 666. What else is significant? 666. What's the sixth parasha in the Torah? Parashas Toldos. What's the sixth aliyah? That's V'yitin Lecha. How does the beginning sixth aliyah? With the Vav. So it's 666. Sixth parasha of the Torah, the sixth aliyah, and the aliyah begins with the Vav. V'yitin Lecha. That's the Birchas Yitzchak. Chazal tell us the greatest brachos in the Torah are the brachos of that Yitzchak gave Yaakov. And that's represented in the numbers of 666. And who was that? That was the family of Adoni Kam. But unfortunately in Nehemiah it doesn't work out. Because Nehemiah it's 667. It goes up by one. It could be whatever the significance is. Right, B'nei V'gvoi, we have also discrepancy. The number was up high in 2000. Shishon Shem is 67. The number here went up. It was 2056 in Ezra. Here it's 2067. B'nei Adin. Shesh Me'ois Chamishim V'chamisha. 655. The number went up from 454. B'nei Oter L'chizkia. The family of Oter. L'chizkiah, it was a branch of the L'chizkiah family, whoever that was. Could be, I think when we learned Ezra, we discussed, some say refers to L'chizkiah HaMelech. Okay, there was Tisha Mishmoina, was 98. The numbers stay the same. Next, B'nai Choshum, Shlosh Mishmoina was 328, and this, B'nai Choshum, Shlosh Meos, 300. Where I skip. B'nei Otel L'chizkia Tishim B'nei Otel L'chizkia B'nei Otel Tishim U'shmoina is 98. Where I skip something over here. Okay, B'nei Choshum. Okay, B'nei Choshum. Now there's a problem. The problem is that we're missing a person. In Sefer Ezra, at this point, we have a person called Yorah. And Yorah here is missing. There he's listed at family of 112. Here he's totally missing. So that's something which is interesting that we have here for the first time a new concept where someone is totally, a whole family is not recorded at all. Okay, at this point in time, in this same exact section, said Ezra, we have Yoyra. Now we come to B'nai Choshum.
You know, the families are not in the same order. Even in Ezra and
no? Okay, it's not, okay, it could be, okay, fine.
But that could go along with two agencies doing the census.
Yeah, absolutely. How they order them is also very significant. The order, you know, from the Haggadah, the Seder. Seder is critical, order is critical. Okay, so this is another good point that they're not in the same order. But here we're totally missing a family. The family of Yorah is completely absent. Next, B'nai Choshum, Shlosh Meos, we have over here, B'nai Shlosh Meos, we have the Choshum is 328, and in Sefer Ezra, it's 223. B'nai Veitzoy, Shlosh Meos, 324, and this family is there, it's one more in Nehemiah than it is in Sefer Ezra. B'nai Chorif, a new family, the family of Chorif, is Meosh Neimos 112. What's interesting about B'nai Chorif? this is a first for us. The first time we have someone in Nehemiah that we don't have in Ezra. Okay, this family is not recorded in Sefer Ezra. So now we have all these new ideas. There are families that are mentioned in Ezra that are not mentioned here. And there's a family that's mentioned here that's not mentioned in Ezra. Some would want to say, I think it's very fair to say, that the family that's missing in Ezra is the same family that's missing in Nehemiah, because they have exactly the same number. Okay, the family that we said was presented, Yorah, that's missing here in Nehemiah, had 112 in Sefer Ezra. And here we have a family called Chorif that has 112 and does not appear in Sefer Ezra. How would you explain? You'd be very tempted to say that they are the same family, had two different names. They changed their name. Didn't work for them, their name. They changed it. Shine Shem, Shine Mazel. And therefore, it would not necessarily be such a great discrepancy. B'nai Givoin, the family of Givoin, how many do we have from them? We have 95 Tishan Hamisha. Givoin does not appear Givoin does not appear in Sefer Ezra, but there's someone else that appears in Sefer Ezra called Gibor. Okay, so it's the same idea. And they are Gibor also in exactly 95. So here's another example. Gibor appears in Ezra. Givoin appears in Nehemiah. They both have 95. It's very probable that they are the same family that would refer to with two different names. Pasuk Chavavanshei Beis Lechem, the family of Beis Lechem, that's Beis Lechem Yehuda, the story of Rus Hamalvia with Naomi. They returned Hashavim El Beis Lechem Yehuda. How many people came there? Beis Lechem Unetofa and Netofa. We combine two families together is Mea Shmoinim Ushmoina 188. How many? What?
Families, it's locations now.
Locations, correct. Locations. Beis Lechem Yehuda Unetofa, name of a place. 188. What do we have? What do we have in Sefer Ezra? 179. Anshe Anassos. Anassos is Yirmiah's hometown, right? That's where Yirmiah hung out. That was his place. Mea, the Esher Mushmoina. What? Outside. So how many people we came back from that family, that those families that lived in that city? Mea Eshem Ushmoina 128. That is exactly the same, no discrepancy. Anshe Veis Azmoves. What a name. What a name. Strong as death. Azmoves. The devil. Right? It's the hometown of the devil. As powerful. Like, well, you have it really in Shir HaShirim. That the love is Azmoves. It's also, there's an expression there which is powerful. It's strong like death. It takes away your life. The love is so strong. Anshe Veis Azmoves. Our Bamashim is 42. And this is perfect. This fits well. Now, there's only one interesting thing is, here's Anshe. In Sefer Ezra, they're called B'nai Azmoves. Here, they're called Anshe. Why would we do that? Now, we did discuss this, that we mentioned this when we learned Sefer Ezra, that sometimes the family is called B'nai, and sometimes they're called Anshe. When it says B'nai, that means they were descendants. When it says Anshe, it means the actual people who went to Golis returned. In other words, when Koresh issued his proclamation, it was 52 years after the Churban. So there were survivors. There were people that were actually living in those cities who actually returned. Sometimes those people already died. Or they did not die, they were just too old to go back, to return. Who went in there? Who went? Their children went. So sometimes it says Anshe, and sometimes it says B'nai. When it says Anshe, that signifies that the survivors themselves returned. When it says B'nai, that has a connotation that the survivors themselves did not return. Instead, their children, their descendants, returned in their place. So here is something that's very interesting, that when it comes to the two rabbis, records when it comes to the B'nai Azmaves. Dr. Friedman, you can verify this in Sefer Ezra. You have Sefer Ezra. There it says B'nai. There it says B'nai. When it comes to the Azmaves, they're called B'nai. Here, when it says Azmaves, they're called the Anshei Azmaves. So the two different departments, the two different agencies that made this accounting, had a different way of classifying these people. Were they called B'nai or were they called Anshei? Whereas almost everyone else, there's a consistency. They're either called B'nai or they're called Anshei. We don't change between the two different records. A lot of different things going on here. A lot of different issues are being brought out in these two different accountings.
You know, there used to be a lot of shul in the early part of the 20th century where clusters of people from a
right.
town.
Sure. Right, so right.
The show was based on...
Yeah, of course.
They were called Anshei...
Anshei Makava, Anshei whatever.
Yeah.
And they called Anshei. They were the survivors themselves. These were not their children. Their children went off from it. Their children went somewhere else. But these were the survivors themselves. They used the word Anshei. I know they had that Kavan in mind, but it's interesting. That's how it's used here in Sefer Nehemiah and Ezra. Anshei means the survivors themselves. B'nai refers...
They all came from this...
Yeah. Right. They came from a certain town. They made a shul. They made a shtibel. When they brought their
relatives, their rebbe, their rav,
and they recreated what they had in Europe. Absolutely. Okay, next. Pasik Chof Tes. Anshei Kiryas Yorim. Now we're grouping together a whole group of people. And Kefira Uve Eros, three different groups. Kiryas Yorim, Kefira Uve Eros, two different locations. Shva Meos Arboim Shloisha, 743. This says exactly the same. Anshei Horam Vagova. The people of Raman Vagova, Sheish Meos Eshmerechad, was 621. This also stays exactly the same. Anshei Michmas, in your place, Meir Vesh Mishnaim was 122, staying the same, no change. Anshei Vesel, Vihoai, so Vesel, that we know where it is, Vihoai, and the Ai, that was the first place where the Battle of Ai, right? That was a famous battle of Ai, which came after Yerichoi.
Yeah. Sefer Bereishis, Vesel, Vihoai, Mikedem.
That's where.
So
their neighboring city. So these are two very significant historical cities, Vesel, Vihoai. Meya v'Esher Mishloish 123. This changed. This number changed because in Ezra there were a lot more. 223. Here we only have 100. The change is by 100. A nice round number is a change. Anshei Nevo, the place of Nevo. That's Har Nevo where I now is, because that can't be where I am because that was the desert. That was in the Midbar, not Eretz Yisrael. So you have to say when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they made a new city and they named it after the mountain where Aaron died. It could be they were very close to Aaron. Anshei Nevo Acher, called Nevo Acher. It's called Nevo Acher. The people of Nevo Acher.
Like New Nouveau,
right.
Nouveau.
New York, New Jersey, New Nouveau. Interesting. Anshei Nevo Acher, the other Nouveau. Chamishim. Now, I'm not sure. See, also, by the way, this is another difference that in Ezra it's not called Acher. Now, at least according to my chart, in Ezra it's called Anshei Nevo. Here it's called Nevo Acher. So it's like calling York and New York. It's a very big difference. Two different places. But we're seemingly referring to the same place, but once, sometimes they drop the new. Well, today they call Jersey. Right? People say they don't bother. They don't say Jersey.
But of course, they don't live in Britain.
Okay, so it's interesting. You don't hear anyone say I'm going to York. Yeah, people, I'm going to Jersey. That I never heard. I'm going to York, but. But here we have here the two, another discrepancy. Is it called Acher, Nevo Acher, or Nevo? Chamish Mushtam 52. The numbers stay the same. Now we come to something that's really, really difficult. B'nei Elam Acher. Okay, Elam Acher. Now this is so far good. One more with Elam Acher. 1,000 was 1,254. That number stayed exactly the same. B'nei Chorim. We have B'nai Charim, Shlosh Meos Eshem is 320. Now there's something that we skipped over. There's B'nai Magbish. there's a family, this is only mentioned in Ezra, and this is not mentioned at all here in Nehemiah. Now this is different, because when it came to the other two examples that we had before, Gibor and Yorah, and we had those other places, so if we have Givon, we were able to match it up. We're able to very easily say that even though it's mentioned, we have something mentioned in Ezra, and something it's not mentioned in Nehemiah, or vice versa, it was very easy for us to say, since the numbers are exactly the same, we're referring to the same. But this appears to be, they disappeared entirely. Because there is no way to reconcile the absence of B'nai Magbish in Sefer Nehemiah. B'nai Magbish appears only in Sefer Ezra, and their number is 156, and they're totally missing in the accounting in Sefer Nehemiah. And there's no way to say no, that B'nai Magbish had a different name, and they were called, and they had a similar number in Sefer Nehemiah. We don't have any other part of the list in Sefer Nehemiah we can account for the missing number of B'nai Magbish. All different types of discrepancies. B'nei Chodim Shlosh Mes Veshim is 300, and okay, B'nei Chodim, we're going B'nei Chorim is 300, so that's is the same, almost finished. B'nei Yirechoy, Yirechoy, you're not allowed to rebuild Yirechoy. What's going on? How can you have Yirechoy? That's a very good question. How in the world is there a city called Yirechoy? You're not allowed to rebuild, it's a curse. There's a curse, you're not allowed to build Yirechoy. So the answer is, doesn't the only curse only to rebuild the city itself? But you're allowed to build a different city and call it after Yirechoy. Or you're allowed to build Yirechoy itself and call it by a different name. The curse only is to rebuild Yirechoy and call it Yirechoy.
Today in Eretz Yisrael,
yeah,
is a place, Mitzpeh Yirechoy.
But it's not actually Yirechoy.
No, it's not.
Yirechoy. Right.
It's also Yirechoy.
But Yericho is not the real Yericho either. The real Yericho, they have tourists, they take you to the ruins of the real Yericho, the ancient Yericho. They try to show you the miracle, the wall sunk. They take you there, but the real Yericho today is rubble. Yeah, it's a teeny little place. You know, you expect a big, massive city. No, it's a teeny, teeny little place, and they claim that is the ancient biblical Yericho, and the curse has been fulfilled. Well, there was someone that rebuilt it. Yoshua, someone rebuilt and he was cursed. His children died. When he put up the doors, when he put up the foundation, one of his children died, and his children kept on dying until he put up the doors, and his last child died. It's a curse. You're not allowed to rebuild the city of Yericho and call it by the name of Yericho. But here we have a city called Yericho, which would seem to mean that it's not, it was called after Yericho, but it was a different location. That's not even called. It could be that they just like the name, whatever reason. But it's simply, it's Anshe, Ibn Yericho is 345. This number is the same. B'nai Lod, people of Lod and Chodid, the Ono, three different cities are grouping together, three neighboring cities. Shvaneo, 700, Vyashmechot, 721. B'nai Sinaah, another place. Now here we have a discrepancy. Discrepancy of 300. Shaloshes Alofim, 3,000. Tishamios, 900. Shloshim, 3,930. In Sefer Ezra, it's 300 less. It's 3,630. Okay, that concludes the list of seemingly the Israelim. I'm assuming that everything we learned until now are the families of Yehuda and Binyamin, the Israelim. Now, Pasuk Lamed Tes begins with the Kohanim. HaKohanim, who are the Kohanim? B'nei Yedaya, Leveis Yeshua, Tishameos, Tishim, Ushloisha. We have 973. We have the Kohanim are exactly the same from the family of Yedaya, and these two families, Bnei Yedaya, from the Bnei Yedaya, I guess that's the ancestor, and we're going to break down his family into different parts. So first we have Beis Yeshua, and he had 973. Some learn that Yeshua was listed in the very beginning. He is Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. This is from the Haftarah, from Zechariah. This is the Haftarah of Hanukkah. This is who indeed became the Kohen Gadol, the Bayis Sheni. His family was 973. Pasuk Mem, B'nai Imer, another branch of the Yedaya family. How many did he number? We have here no discrepancy. 1,052. B'nai Pashchur. Pashchur also no discrepancy. Is 1,000 Mosayim Arboim Chamisha is 1,247. B'nai Chorim is also the same. Is 1,017. Now we come to the Levim. Okay, the different families of Levim. Halevim B'nai Yeshua. It has to be a different Levi, different Yeshua, because there's a Levi, Likadmiel, and Livnei Lehodva, Shivin the Arba, 74. Now, they refer to a little bit, the name is Livnei Yeshua, Vikadmiel. The El Livnei. Okay, so exactly everything here is the same exact. I don't see any difference. I don't know what they're doing over here. B'nei Yeshua, the Kad, the El Livnei, Hodavia. Okay, so everything is exactly the same. Shivay Abba. Next, Hamashayrim, the singers. B'nei Asaf, the singers, those that specialize in singing, playing the musical instrument. From B'nei Asaf, Me'avi Abba, Shemayin is 120. Arboim, wait, Mea 100, Arboim Ushmoina 48. 148, the number is different. There are more singers. Now this is very significant because these people, these people would be noticed because they actually sung, they actually played musical instruments in the Bay. These are public figures. And there's a discrepancy by 20. Here it's 148 in Sefer Ezra it's 128. So one thing when it comes to the people above, dealing with the Israelim who are living in the cities, okay, so people slip behind the radar screen. But when you're dealing with the people that actually worked in the Beis HaMikdash, that sang and played musical instruments, go to an orchestra, you know who's there, who's not there. There's a famous story about someone that was that a very big expert. He listened to a piece of music and he was able to detect that there was one musician that was missing. You have an orchestra of 100 people, and it was amazing. He was able, this is his whole life, he was able to detect there's someone missing. And he was right. And so here, certainly in the Beis HaMikdash, you have over here people that are involved in playing the musical instruments and singing, and there are only 148. How could it be that in Nechemi there's 148, and say for Ezra there are 128? That's a significant number of people who are very public, a public presence, and yet we have a discrepancy. That's something which definitely should be taken note of. Now we come to Pasuk Memhei Hashayorim, the gatekeepers. So we discussed that. We discussed that because they cut off their thumbs. Because the Levim cut off their thumbs. Eich Noshir Shir Hashem Alan Masnechar. When Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers exiled the Levim, the soldiers wanted entertainment, and they told, this is Al Naros Bavel, they told the Levim, play for us. Entertain us, play for us the music from the Beis HaMikdash. Sing for us, play for us. So the Levim was so frustrated, they took a knife, they cut off their thumbs. And they said, "How can we sing the melodies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on foreign soil?" And they refused to do so. So they were ineligible to come back and play. They couldn't. They didn't have fingers. They didn't have thumbs to play the harp. So they did not come. And that's why a very small number of Levim returned. That's why Ahiyam Azet, no, in fact, we discussed, we learned to say to Ezra, Ahiyam Azet, the number of Levim, there's a very great shortage of Levim relative to Kohanim. We see here, we went to the list of Kohanim. They have large numbers of Kohanim who came back to Eretz Yisrael. Those who did not return to Eretz Yisrael, they got lost. They assimilated. They got lost. They got lost in Galus. We don't know what became of them. Those that returned to Eretz Yisrael will mechazik themselves during the time of the Bayis Sheni. And from them, the Bayis Sheni is where we have a supply of Levim. Bisman has it all goes back to this time, the time of the Churban, between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. And many of them were lost. And we see here who returned, a very small number, just 148 of the singers. 74 from the family of Yeshua Kagmil of Nehod Odavia, and from the singers we have 128, and from the next family we're going to have 139. So it's a teeny number of Levim came relative to the Kohanim, which numbered about 5,000. There are about 5,000 Kohanim that returned. There was about 5,000, and the Levim we have a total of about 300. So it's a joke. 300 compared to 5,000, and that's why Bisman Hazed, the ratio of Kohan to Levim, is a very great divide, a shortage of Levim.
Didn't we have an Ezra that he had to go out and make a special appeal for
them? Yes. Yes, he had to go make an appeal because more Levim. There were not enough Levim to maintain the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we also about finished. Hashe'arim. Now we come to the Levim who are the gatekeepers. We have a long list of families in one shot. B'nei Shalom, B'nei Ater, B'nei Talmon, B'nei Yaakov, B'nei Chatita, B'nei Shovai. How many in total of all these families? There's a discrepancy of one between the Sefer Ezra. Neya is 100, Shloisha Mishmoina 138. What do we have in the Sefer Ezra? In the Sefer Ezra we have 139. Okay, that concludes the full-fledged Jews. We're going to stop here. Now, Pasuk Mem Dal begins to list the Nesinim, and begins to list the Asufim, and other people, and everyone else. But what's the grand total? The grand total of the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, which were included, these are the Miuchasim. This Pasuk here, Pasuk Memvav, with the conclusion of Pasuk Memhei, we conclude the Miuchasim, the elite of Klal Yisrael, from Shevet, Yehuda, and Binyamin, with the Kohanim and the Levim, the grand total in Sefer Nechem, if you'd count up all of the numbers, you would come to a sum of 29,427. In Sefer Ezra, the grand total is 29,009. Okay, so we have a discrepancy of a little bit more than 400. Okay, a little more than 400. There's a little bit more than 400 in Nehemiah than there is in Sefer Ezra of the Meyuchasim. But don't forget, we're going to make the grand total. The grand total is going to be the same. After we're going to learn tomorrow, the other families, the Nesinim and the Asufim and the slaves, Barzli HaGiladi, the grand total is going to be 42,360. That's going to be exactly the same. That will include all of the other people that we're going, all of the other people that we're going to include in the calculation of Yisraelim. That another 13,000 Yisraelim, 12,000 Yisraelim with slaves, which for other Shvatim. But the grand total of the Miyuchasim is off by a little bit more than 400 people. 400 people, there are 400 more people in Sefer Nehemiah than there are in Sefer Ezra. Okay, I think we went through some interesting ideas, discrepancies, different interesting points. Okay, so we'll stop here. Up to Pasuk Mem Hei. Mem Vav.